Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Once again, happy Resurrection Sunday, which is awesome. It's the reason why we're here. You know, if it wasn't for him getting up, we wouldn't have no reason to be here. It would just be it'd be a country club, as they say. So coming towards the end of this Leadership 101 training, next week will be the last week, the last lesson. I know everybody's super sad about that. But I hope you guys gotten something out of this. Last week we had a really good discussion where we talked about being not being a power hoarder, right, and making other leaders. And this week is kind of a continuation of that in some respects. So this week we'll be talking about something that I think is helpful for you as leaders and should help encourage you to help make other leaders if you take advantage of this principle. So the slide, the final leadership principle for this introductory lesson, and the next week we'll talk about some pitfalls, is knowing your limitations. You see this check engine light on this picture? I chose this for a reason. Everyone who's ever driven a car, been in a car, knows what that light means, right? It's there to let you know that there may be an issue with your vehicle, and sometimes you don't even know that there was an issue. Right, it just comes on and lets you know. Sometimes there were some, you know, things leading up to that light coming on that kind of let you know there was an issue, but you were, you know, hoping there was nothing, right? But you know, once it comes on, it's time for you to get your car looked at because something may be wrong and something needs to be fixed. So my first bullet point up there, while it's meant to be funny, there's some truth behind it. It says you cannot make everyone happy. You aren't ice cream. I saw this post on social media though that. Right under this post, it said that somebody said that I don't even like ice cream. So you see right there, like even ice cream can't even make everybody happy. So you have no hope of making everyone happy, right? But sometimes that's as leaders, that's what we want. We want to make people happy. I mean, that we have this unrealistic and ideal vision of how to be a leader. And when you're following, you have all these great ideas of how to make things better. And if you were in charge, if you were just given the opportunity to be in charge, you would make everything better and there would be no problems. And then you get into a leadership position and you realize that there are people in the ministry that are relying on you. And then suddenly, you don't have all the answers, right? And some people feel guilty because they can't please everyone and make everybody happy. But I'm going to give you a little bit of encouragement today. Sometimes what's best for people is not what makes them happy in the short term. As a leader, we can get caught up in the emotion of the time, but we have to think strategically. And things that are oftentimes the short-term satisfaction is fleeting, and it may end up doing more harm than good. You see this if you're a parent or you're a teacher, you've been around kids, like they'll want all the candy and ice cream or whatever it is in the world, the sweets. And you want to make them happy. You want to give them, you know, stuff like that. But you cannot give them what they want all the time, right? You have to give them nutrition. You have to give them healthy things because you see the bigger picture. If they walk around eating sweets 24/7, they're going to have diabetes by the age of 3 and then probably be dead soon after, right, through lack of nutrition. So we have to be the ones as leaders, as parents, teachers, whatever it may be, to say, you can't have this. This is not something that is good for you. And that is a hard thing. It's easy to see when you're, you know, leading kids or you're, you know, as a parent, but it's much harder when you're leading a ministry. And sometimes you don't know, you know, you want to do things to make people happy. And on the other hand, we can't be the other type of person, right, that says, well, I can't make everybody happy, but I can sure make them mad, right? You can't have that type of personality either. Now, it's tempting sometimes, right? Like, you know what? Nobody's going to be happy. Guess what? I'll make everybody mad then. But that is also not the right attitude. So my next two bullets, they go hand in hand. I've seen this too many times from people. And I say this, if you don't know the answer, say you don't know the answer. Right? You cannot be an expert in every single thing. There is nothing worse than going to someone you trust and telling them something and you realize they have no idea what they're talking about. It will make you second guess going to that person again, right? However, on the flip side, if you go to someone and they tell you, here's my opinion, but I really don't know, that person is something that you will listen to going forward. And then they tell you a little bit further, hey, try going to this person over here. They have a little bit more experience in this area that you're asking about, right? That goes a lot further than trying to fake it. And there's also added benefit of growing their trust in you, because they know that you as a leader, they can bring stuff to you. And if you don't know the answer, you're going to at least try to point them in the right direction. And you're going to tell them the truth. Hey, I don't know. Sometimes we get caught up in the, as leaders, get caught up in the ability of trying to look smart all the time, like know all the answers. And when people come to me, oh, I know, I'm the expert. Well, that's just not simply the case. We have to make sure that we're pointing people to the right. And I like to do something, like I said, very simple. People come to me and ask, hey, JT, what do you think about this, this, and this? And I'll say, well, I don't know this for a fact, but here's what I think, right? And I always preface it with my opinion. Here's my opinion about the subject. However, consult this person or read this book or look in the scriptures, right? That's where I'm going to point people to get the answers for things that I don't know about personally. But I'm also going to say, hey, once you find that answer, come back and let me know. Tell me, right? And I think that's a beneficial thing as a leader, because especially if it's a problem in your ministry that you tend to deal with a lot, right? One thing you want to benefit is once you find out an answer, add it to your toolkit. Now you know for the next person who asks that same question. And you can also tell them, hey, I didn't know this before, but I found out this answer, and the person that told me found out from this person. So if you want to get even more detail, go talk to this person about it. And it will behoove you as a leader to delve and learn some more about the subject too, especially if it's something that pertains to your ministry. But understanding your limitations in an area of expertise is key. And the last point I'll make about this before I go, and I've said this before a few different times, but it's worth saying again, you do not own your ministry. You're just a steward of it. It belongs to God. So if you're running around acting like, you know, this is your little fiefdom and nobody can hear but from God but you, and you're so holy and nobody cares about it as much as you do, understand something. God will show you that you're wrong and also prepare to be humbled. I'm speaking this from experience. I've dealt with this, right? This is not something I'm just coming up to, you know, bash you guys on the head about. But it's something I've actually dealt with myself. The Bible says very clearly that pride comes before the fall. And sometimes it's easy for us to see all the work that we put into something. We see all the knowledge that we've gained by learning something, especially if it's something for our ministry. Let's just take it to our first ministry, right? Our family. We see all the work and effort that we're putting into learning about how to be a good father, or how to be a good mother, or husband and wife, or whatever it is. Uncle, aunt, whatever it is, you see all the effort that you're putting into to being that person. And sometimes you tend to compare yourself and the things that you've done and the studies that you've accumulated over the years and the books that you've read and all these leadership conventions you've gone to, and you're just better than everybody else in your ministry, whatever it is, right? And then nobody can tell you anything. And then what happens is we start to get this air of ownership. And I just want to say that none of us have the corner market on hearing from God. If you look at, I talked about this a couple weeks ago when I talked about Moses and him getting some advice from his father-in-law. The great thing about this is if you look in the scripture, I don't know anybody else actually besides Moses and maybe, you know, the disciples who actually stood face to face and talked with God, right? Moses had that claim. He can say, no, I talked to God face to face. You know, me and him, we like this, right? However, when his father-in-law came and gave him some advice, he didn't go, who are you? Have you talked to God face to face? Because last time I checked, I own this. I run this. I'm doing this because God told me this personally. He didn't tell you. He told me. That's not how Moses reacted. Had he reacted that way, I think we all would have understood, hey, he's right. Like, God did talk to him face to face. I mean, who else can say that at that point in time? But that's not what Moses did. Moses took a step back and said, you know, you're right. It's probably better that I do appoint some people that help me out and do this. And I think we have to take that, if we're leaders to whatever ministry we're in, we have to remember that we don't own it. We're just stewards. And again, this helps us out. This helps us ease things out so we're not running ourselves ragged. Our limitations, the check engine light comes on, and now you feel like you have to do everything because you've pushed everybody away because you're the only one that hears from God in your ministry. We tend to think sometimes that we're the smartest person in the room when it comes to our ministry, especially when God put us over, and it's not the case. And I say this all the time. If you're consistently the smartest person in the room, you need to find another room. Because the room you're in, you've outgrown. It is time for you to have people around you that's going to challenge you to go to a different level. I love surrounding myself with intelligent people because they always drive me to learn more. They'll throw something out there. Hey, did you know this? I'm like, man, no, I didn't know that. I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting. Sometimes it's kind of like, who cares? Right? It's kind of cool. Like useless knowledge, right? Another time it's like, oh man, I wanna dig deeper in that because what you just said was amazing. Now Chris is in here, I've given him multiple compliments about this one particular subject, but I'm gonna give him one more compliment because I really think he did an excellent job talking about little faith when he gave that message. And I think about that often. And those are things like that when I like surrounding myself with people who study scripture and can pull out things that I've never seen before, right? Looking at it myself oftentimes. And those are the kind of people you want to surround yourself with who are digging into God's word for themselves to learn more things. And guess what? God is going to bring those people to you to lead them in your ministry. And you cannot be intimidated by that. You got to be confident in yourself and your abilities. And here's what I like to say about this. No matter if you're the smart person or God brings a smart person to you, it doesn't matter. The ministry is not about you. It's not about that smart person. It is about God. And understand something. When God called you to leadership, that means he put you in place. You're the leader. You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to look over your shoulder thinking, oh, man, this person has come over here, and he's super smart, and I feel like I can't compete with this person. This, you know, all of a sudden, that's not what it's about because it's not about you in the first place. However, if you feel like it's about you, then you feel challenged when somebody comes to you with an idea. Hey, have you ever thought about this? And you're like, how dare you? I'm the one who hears from God, not you. Right? Because it becomes more about you. It is now the ministry of you and not the ministry of God. And that is the challenge. I'm not saying this. I'm not harping on this point because I got it all together and JT's figured it out. I'm telling you this because this is a challenge for me as well. All of us fall short. If I was perfect, there would have been no need for today. There would have been no need for Jesus to die on the cross. There would have been no need for him to get up because there's a person that's perfect without him, right? There'll be no need for that. I'm not perfect. Nobody here is perfect. That's why we need Jesus. All of us. Every single one of us. But I always say, trust God and listen to the people he sends to you in your ministry if you're called to be a leader of this, right? Because it's about him. And one more point. Last time I checked, in a kingdom, there's only one king. Not multiple. There's one. The rest of us are servants. Does it mean, as a leader, it doesn't automatically and ultimately fall on you? Because it does. You still have to be responsible for what God called you to do. But trust God and don't act as if you're the only decision maker. It reminds me of a quote like about being a good leader. And I saw this the other day and I thought it was really good and I wanted to read it. You guys know how much I love quotes. And it said, this guy tweeted this actually. He says, when I talk to managers, I get the feeling that they're important. But when I talk to leaders, I get the feeling I'm important. And guys, I think that's the ultimate test of being a leader versus being running around thinking that you're in charge of everything. It doesn't matter what ministry you're called to lead. It really does not matter. It's agnostic when it comes to that point. The point is, the people that God sends to you, they're just as important, and God loves them just as much. And our job is to lead them and cultivate in them something that's bigger than they ever thought it could be. And so our challenge as leaders is not to get caught up in our own egos, and it's easy to do that when you see how much work and effort that you put into your ministry. Because let's be honest, as leaders, you think about startup companies. Nobody puts more effort in those startup companies than the people who start those companies, right? They put in a lot of work. They put a lot of effort to get those. And so everything that happens, they're intimately invested in that. However, they also have to trust people to carry out their vision. And it's the same thing with us in the ministry. We have to trust other people to carry out our mission and not get to the point where we feel like it's all about us. Because it's not all about us. It's about God. And then we get caught up and then we lose something. Then we're tired. And then we've now met that limit. And our check engine light is on. And there's nothing we can do about it because we've now isolated ourselves and pushed everybody away who could potentially help us. Because, you know, they're not smart enough, and we are. They're not talented enough, and we are. And so as a leader, we have to make sure it's about God. We also have physical limitations as well. I love this because both God and Jesus showed us the importance of taking some rest and time for yourself. The Bible says God rested on the seventh day after creating the earth. Did he need to? Probably not. But he did it for us, to show us that we should rest. Jesus oftentimes retreated alone to connect with God, his Father, and to rest. These are just wise principles. However, today's 24/7 grind set mindset, right, in society, we feel like we're failing if we're not always working, if we're not always doing something. We're falling behind in our ministry if we're not always studying and doing it. What's the latest trend in my ministry or whatever it is, right? What are people doing? You know, and you're always busy, 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 and you have no time for rest. We have to make sure we're taking that time. Rest, sometimes, we say, often has no time in our life, right? I can sleep when I'm dead. How many people have heard that phrase before? I can sleep when I'm dead. Just FYI, you're not sleeping when you're dead, right? Then you'll say to yourself, well, I can't take a break. I can't afford to. People are relying on me. People need what I have to do. This may actually be true. People do rely on things you do. I think, for example, the people who are struggling or homeless, and they have shelters that run 24/7, 365, or 366 on leap year, right? They need those people. They need those shelters open. They need people to serve that food. They need that all the time. But it can't just be one person, because then it'll fail. Right, that's why you need to surround yourself with people who are going to help. So it may be true that people do rely on you. But also, think about this. You think people relied on Jesus when he was here in the flesh? The Bible was talking about how Jesus would like get up in the morning, there'd be crowds around him, and he would minister to people all day. But then he would take some time for himself. Right? He rested. He retreated. Sometimes he went away. Oh, people over there? Let me go over here. Right? I appreciate it about Jesus because I do that too sometimes. Right? Oh, there's people over there. That's nice. I'm going to go over this way. Because we need that. We need that break. And it's important for us to take that time to rest. Jesus did it. God did it. It's good enough for us. The Bible says he felt so much compassion for the people who were hurt. But what did Jesus do? He trained people to help them. So he wouldn't have to do it on his own. He always knew, too, that I'm only here for a certain amount of time. I need people who are going to carry on this work after me. I talked about this last week, right? Not being a power hoarder. It is the same thing. Gives you rest and allows other people to step up and take that mantle. He trained them so he wouldn't have to do it all on his own. Here's the thing. If you have people to help, then it gives you time to step back and take some rest, some much-needed rest, and relax. And it gives those people as well time to relax because they can't do it all on their own either. So while you're taking a break, they're running, and then when it's time for them to take a break, you're running. That is how it works. You guys are working together to make sure nobody feels like everything is solely relying on them. So the last bullet is important. We're not the source, but we must be plugged into the source. The source being the Creator, our Lord and our God. He is what will sustain us when all of our plans go out the window. At the end of the day, like I said before, it's his ministry, it's his church, and they are his people. We're just the manager. He is the owner. I love this kind of phrase, you know, manager, owner, a different thing like that. And we often hear the different terms when it comes to leadership. You know, you have managers and you have leaders. And depending on what you're doing, you're sometimes doing both. You're leading, you're managing, right? But what is the difference, really, when it comes down to what leadership is and what management is? It's very simple. I say this all the time. You want to just cut it cleanly. Now, there's, you know, little idiosyncrasies, but cleanly, you manage processes, you manage teams, you manage things. You lead people. That's it. That's the difference, right? That's how you cut it. You cannot manage people. You cannot manage individuals. You can manage their growth. You can manage their training, but you have to lead people. You manage processes, you lead people. And that is the way it works. And that's what God calls us to be when he calls us to lead things. We manage the ministry, but we lead people. And that is our goal as leaders. The people that are under you aren't your people. They're God's people. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, we will have to answer to him for how we treated those people and how we led them. But we all need rest, and we all need to recognize the limitations of our knowledge and our skills. We can always expand those limits by training, by learning. You think about athletes and their bodies, right? Athletes are like some of the most physically gifted people in the world, but they still have to train all the time. Like, they may be able to run super fast, but to run faster, they train harder. And it's the same thing with us as leaders. If you want to get better and expand your limitations, you train, you learn. But there will still always be a limit. Like I said before, if there's a certain issue that keeps popping up in your ministry, it'll probably behoove you to go actually learn about what it is that keeps popping up, so that way you can be an expert in that, right? It would be foolish for a doctor, right, to see patients and they're seeing the same thing come up and they had no idea what it was first because it was a brand new thing and they just kept forgetting about it every single time a new patient came in there. Like, I have no idea. You know, I have no idea. You're the 17th patient that asked me about this. I have no clue about what's going on. You're like, man, you think you would like learn about it after a while? We see that, right? We see that, how foolish that looks, and that we have to be the same way as leaders, right? If something keeps coming up, keeps popping up in your ministry, God, what is this? What is it that keeps coming up, and why I keep seeing that? Let me learn about it so I can be better equipped to handle this later on. And it stretches you a little bit and also stretches that person. Thankfully, though, we serve a God that has no limits. He's not stretched by anything. He knows all and sees all. So if we're plugged into him, he's a source of our strength. He's a source of our power. He's a source of our knowledge. Then we got it all together. But we're not God, so we need to make sure we're plugged into him and surround ourselves with people who are going to help us. Whenever you're working, I remember being in the military, and certain things happen, and you're spun up. For example, we're about to deploy, go out, you know, fight whatever we're going to do, and you're spun up, you're doing a lot of stuff. You're working long hours, you're tired, right? You're stressed. People who have been, you know, deployed, they know, like, you work 12-hour days at least every single day, and so you're tired. But you cannot sustain that all the time. And I think what happens in our ministry sometimes as leaders, we think we have to be the one to do every single thing all the time. And then what happens is, before we know it, that check engine light is on, and we're ignoring it because I don't have time to do this right now. I can't afford to take the downtime to get this done. And then everything crashes. And I tell this all the time. I've heard this plenty of time too. When I was in the military and even after, one thing they say, if you were to pass away today, they will have somebody in your seat tomorrow. And that is the truth, right? The only place where you really can't be replaced is your family. Like, they're going to care about you. They want you there. They need you there, right? But everywhere else, your ministry, whatever, you can be the pastor of 1 million people. If you die, somebody else will be the pastor of 1 million people tomorrow. Yeah. Right? And that is just the way it works. We cannot get caught up thinking that it's all about us, because it's not. We have to equip other people to come behind us so we can relax. Knowing our limitations, there's a lot of things in that. It's not just about physically. It's not just spiritually. It's everything. We have to understand where we are. Admit if we don't know it, admit that we get tired, and let other people help us. It is really that simple. We're not the owners. We're just the stewards that God has called us to do the job, but we have to know our limits. Next week is going to be a fun one. I love talking about some of the pitfalls. So you guys come back next week for that. Before I wrap it up, any comments? Yes.
So obviously you got me to thinking. And one thing that I have a problem with is adopting the systems of the world, which is really easy to do. Both of us were in the military. And leadership means you get it done in any way possible, preferably through terror. And if you don't, it's your head. But Jesus, all throughout the Bible, showed them first he was for them. The disciples, he filled up those nets with fish. He talked to the woman at the well, which nobody would do. Zacchaeus, he brought him down from the tree. Then he was with them. He just hung out with them. And then he told them, follow me. And a position of leadership is not one of privilege. It's one of sacrifice. And the point is to do the things that you want other people to do first, to show people you are for them and with them so you can develop them through something that somebody else developed in you. The end.
I don't like ice cream.
See? Exactly. You see my point now, people? This is exactly what I was talking about. He's that person that left a comment on social media that says he doesn't like ice cream. No, but I, and again, you cannot be all things to everyone. I think we get caught up with that as leaders. You know, I know I did when I first started out. And then, so there's always the shift, right? In the beginning, you want to please people. Then towards, you know, later on, you get a little jaded. And now you're like, I hate everybody. And I want to make everybody mad, and I don't care. Right? So you have to find that balance. And it's easy to find that jaded spot if you're not plugged into the source, which is Jesus. And to her point, again, Jesus led people. That is the reason why he developed those relationships first. Again, you lead people, you manage processes. You don't manage people. You can manage relationships. Those are tangible things. People have to be led. It doesn't matter if you're in business or ministry. It is the exact same thing. And we cannot walk around whatever we're called to do as leaders in our ministry acting as if we're the sole decision maker and everything we say goes. Because like I said before, the last time I checked in the kingdom, there's only one king. And we serve him, all of us. And all of us, as the corporate church, the global church, we're going to have to answer to him one day. But to say, hey, I know you put me in charge of this. And you sent this weird person over that was telling me to do all this stuff. And I thought they were stupid, so I just sent him away. Right? And God's like, I sent that person to you to help. It's like this story where there's a giant flood. I know you guys heard this before. And this guy was on his roof waiting to be rescued, right, because the water was everywhere. And so somebody came over on a little boat and was like, hey, you need help? He said, no, God's going to help me. And so the guy just goes on with his boat. Then somebody with a helicopter comes by and said, hey, man, you need help? He said, no, keep going. God's going to help me. And then he dies and get to heaven. And he's like, God, why don't you help me? He's like, dude, I sent a boat and a helicopter. Like, what else do you want? I think that's what happens sometimes. We tend to get pigeonholed on how we think God is going to move or how we think God is supposed to do things. And God is not the God that's going to do things the way you think he's going to do it. He's going to do it the way he wants to do it, and it's going to be for the best. And you understand that, and you understand as a leader, because wherever you are, I said all believers are leaders in wherever aspect they are. If you're a parent, you've seen that same kind of thing. Your kids may expect you to do something for them one way, but you may do it for them, just not the way they expect it to get done, right? You're gonna eat tonight. You're just not going to eat McDonald's every single night, right? You're going to get some other food, right? That's the expectation when we got to look at God. We can't look at God to deliver the exact same way that we want him to every single time. Because here's the thing. We're all picky, every single one of us. And if we're given exactly what we think we want, we won't be happy with it. We're like, oh, well, you know, I thought I wanted this, but now I don't. If you ever going out to eat and order some food, and then you're like, I don't even want this. Like, I thought it was going to be good, but this is not really what I want. I really should have got that, right? Because we're fickle people. That's what we are. We're humans. But thank God he loves us anyway, and he still trusts us for some reason. He gives us the keys of the kingdom to us for some strange reason. But I'm thankful that he loves us and trusts us enough. And each and every one of us are important to God. And because we're important to God, we have to treat the people that are in our ministry, under our leadership, as important to God as well. Any other comments?
I don't know if you know anything about sheep, but my father raised sheep. You can't drive sheep. You have to lead them. And you just can't do it. And they know the voice of the shepherd. My husband found that out when he was filling in for my dad. He was gone, and he was going to go over and feed his sheep. And my dad just used to holler for the sheep, and they knew his voice, and they would come. When Don went out, they ignored him. They didn't know who he was. So you can't drive sheep. You have to learn to be a good leader, and you have to lead them.
Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, come back next week for the last lesson. That's all I got.